everyone. My name is Maria Thomas, and I work for Allianz Research, the global team of economists, strategists, sector advisors, and foresight experts of the Allianz Group, led by Ludovic Subron. Welcome to Tomorrow, a podcast where we'll be talking about our latest analyses of economic and capital market developments, as well as our views on trends affecting risk management. Let's get started. Whoever wins the U.S. elections in November will have to contend with a changing economy. In this episode, we speak to senior economist Maxime Darmé and lead investment strategist Jordi Basco-Carrera about what a potential second Trump presidency could mean for growth, inflation, and capital markets, as well as trade, fiscal, and industrial policies. Hello, Maxime and Jordi. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Hi, Maria.
This year brings a pivotal election in the U.S., but in the report, you write that whoever wins the White House in November will be confronted with a changing U.S. economy. Why is that?
Well, I think there are a couple of points worth mentioning. The first is, obviously, we saw the U.S. economy has been very resilient to the sharp increase in interest rates over the past 2 years. So I think that there's a lot about what's been happening in terms of resilience. First of all, a strong support has been fiscal policy, you know, with the Biden administration running extremely large fiscal deficit. This is one point. And the second point is the strength of the private sector balance sheet as well, which we are really surprised about. This is one thing. But the second thing also, maybe less positive, is clearly, I think the U.S. economy is becoming more prone to inflation volatility. Now that, you know, labor shortages are, you know, getting something like very structural. So it's an economy getting very full, very close to full capacity. I mean, so anything, you know, which could, you know, bump up demand a little bit could really reignite inflation pressures. So potentially having, you know, impact on interest rates as well and the stock market.
You identified three economic fault lines from a potential second Trump presidency, the first being trade policy. What do you expect from trade policy?
Yeah, so clearly, if Trump is reelected, the trade policy is going to be the flagship policy. You know, he pledged, and I think we have to take him very seriously, to increase tariff rates dramatically on U.S. trading partners. Obviously, there are a lot of, you know, campaign pledges, which, you know, can sound a little bit harsh. So we try to look in the report at two scenarios, you know, one in which he would indeed implement basically all of what he said, including a 16% tariff rate on Chinese goods imported in the US and 10% on the rest of the world, basically, including Mexican and Canadian goods. So which effectively would mean a breakdown of the USMCA, you know, the trade deal between Mexico, Canada and the US. So this is one sort of downside scenario we looked at. And there's another scenario we think a bit more likely because, you know, Trump, if he goes back to the White House, he might be constrained, well, first of all, by, you know, fellow Republicans. You know, the Republican Party is quite divided on many issues, and we do not think they would agree to increase tariffs too dramatically and so on and so forth. So we looked at a scenario in which maybe, you know, Trump could go halfway and maybe impose a tariff of, let's say, 25% on Chinese goods, which would still be very high. Currently, it's about 12-13% and 5% on goods imported from other regions. And finally, we would expect Canada and Mexico to be spared. So we think Trump lacks to negotiate, lacks to bargain, lacks to get deals. So he could potentially negotiate with these countries, and including with China, you know, to increase tariff less than he pledged to do. And a final point as well, I would like to mention, and we talk about it in the report. It's the fact that the U.S. is very, very dependent on, you know, foreign inputs, a lot of products coming from China and the EU, especially. So we do not think it's quite likely that Trump would target all of the goods because basically you don't have lots of alternatives to China's products, such as electronics, ICT, pharmaceuticals, chemicals coming from Europe as well. So we potentially think he would target about 60% of Chinese goods, about 70-75%. Of European goods. So not all goods would be targeted under our scenarios.
And what about fiscal policy?
So fiscal policy is clearly something of an issue because as I mentioned, you know, the US has very extremely large fiscal deficits now, despite the economy being quite hot. So this is quite unusual. We think Trump might play cautiously, actually. And I think the latest statements he gave is kind of, strengthens the case, for Trump playing cautiously. For instance, on social spending, which, Medicare, Social Security, which is, some of the reason why the fiscal deficit is so high in the U.S., because these spending are keep increasing at a very fast pace. Well, Trump, he said he might do some cuts. He might engineer some cuts, something previously he didn't, never mentioned about. Secondable on the tax side of things, he previously said, he would lower the corporate tax rate. Currently, it's about 20, 21%. He said he would lower it down maybe to 15%. And more recently, he said he actually backed down from his promises. So there are a lot of signals that we think means Trump will, again, play cautiously and try not sort of balance the book. That doesn't mean we think it's going to reduce the deficit. We think the U.S. deficit will remain very large, whoever wins the White House, Biden or Trump. But nevertheless, our baseline is for Trump to play cautiously.
How would a potential second Trump presidency affect the course of monetary policy?
So we think in the event that Trump, follows through on his campaign pledges and especially on the tariff rate hikes, we think U.S. inflation is actually going to increase potentially by at least 0.5 percentage points. So effectively, U.S. inflation would be maybe 2.5-3% next year in the case Trump follows through. One of the reasons is not so much because of the tariff hikes per se, but it's more because Trump's has pledged, and I think we have to take him very seriously, to crack down on tariff evasion. So there's a lot of evidence that, U.S. importers are underreporting the value of shipments they import. And also, he said he's going to crack down, this is very important, on trade diversion. So again, a lot of evidence that lots of Chinese goods are being shipped through countries like Mexico or Vietnam to avoid paying high tariff duties. So Trump is clearly going to do something about that, which means probably you're going to see some stepped up custom checks at the borders at U.S. ports, which would be effectively mean a rise in delays. And you can see it basically as a supply chain shock, right? And we estimate that would push up inflation quite meaningfully. So now going to the Fed, obviously, in this kind of situation, the Fed will be constrained because, that obviously they don't want inflation to be too high, to be above 2%. So probably we think the Fed would keep interest rates above 4%. So basically, all the market pricing you got currently, now telling you that next year the Fed is going to cut interest rates further. Well, I think this scenario will be questioned in the case of a Trump presidency. So we have really to watch this closely.
And so what would this mean for the U.S. curve?
Yes. So picking on the two topics that Maxim just mentioned, the first one, the inflationary pressures of the 2025 or the first year of Trump would actually push yields up. Or, in other words, also help them maintain or remain above the 4% level. This would be a bit of a change in the trend that we have been seeing for the past year, in which the real component of the yield was actually the one driving yields up, while the inflation component was remaining quite stable at around 2.2%. This means that markets were actually believing that inflation was going to come back towards the Fed's target rate of 2%, and to basically that the Fed was actually fighting inflation and being effective in this. With Trump being reelected, this initial inflationary push would probably keep nominal interest rates, especially in the long end of the curve, slightly higher on the back of these increased inflation expectations in the short run.
And for risky assets?
That's definitely a tricky question. Election years are normally tend to be extremely volatile around the election date, so in 2024. But if we focus on the possibility of Trump being elected, then on 2025, we would have quite of a mixed bag in markets. High volatility, a bit of market correction in certain pockets as markets anticipate that certain sectors may underperform due to the fact that Trump's policies may affect them directly. But overall, the Trump impact would be that of a positive, let's say, push for risky assets. We expect around 8 to 10% returns in 2025 should Trump be elected. Within sectors, we can talk about defense and traditional energy. We're talking oil and gas and also financials getting a positive push due to Trump's pledges. Then, of course, for example, ESG or renewable energy probably would get a drag due to Trump's pledges. And also maybe healthcare and a bit of technology would also be a bit of a laggard, at least at the beginning, as markets discount the possibility of the Trump's pledges impact on their earnings. On the corporate credit side, we would see more or less the same effect. So an initial volatility because markets would have to readjust and discount the Trump's pledges. But overall, we wouldn't expect any derailing of the market and markets would continue to perform. And one of the big broad geographical topics is that the America First narrative would actually continue to play, which means that probably U.S. markets would continue to outperform the rest of the world under Trump.
Yeah, if I may add something on top of all these comments, clearly Trump has pledged to increase dramatically industrial subsidies to rent of sectors, right? So far, the Biden administration was really focused on the green transition, EVs, batteries, these kind of things, something Trump really doesn't like, so it's probably going to repeal some of his subsidies. But on the other end, we think it's going to unleash, you know, we put out some numbers, potentially $50-60 billion per year of new industrial subsidies, especially on, you know, you could see new subsidies for steel, autos, chemicals, minerals, technological sectors as well, and everything related to raw materials and you know, the strengthening of supply chains. So clearly, yeah, many sectors could benefit from a second Trump administration.
Exactly. And we have been seeing this for the past half year already. As polls get to 50-50 or one above the other one, you see that this reshoring trade, it's actually gaining a lot of momentum, favoring actually also mid and small caps in the U.S. So we see that people expect local businesses, let's put it this way, be it small, mid, or large, to actually be beneficiaries of a Trump administration, especially in the sectors that Maxime just mentioned.
Yeah, lots of dollars being poured in.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find the full report we just spoke about on our website. We'll leave a link in the show notes. If you'd like to discover more of our research, you can also follow the Ludonomics newsletter on LinkedIn. We'll leave a link down below for that too. If you like the podcast, please send it to any of your friends who might like it too, and leave us a rating and a review. We'd love to hear your feedback. In the meantime, stay tuned for the next episode.